So you're a business that's thriving. But then, oh, don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with serious and reliable gig speed internet. But is it secure? Sure, it's secure.
So how do I do this?
We do this together. Bounce forward with Comcast Business.
B-Pod Studios.
Is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He can run a vertical route, he can run a comeback, and he may be able to run a post. That's Metcalf. Metcalf's a three-route runner. Now, all you fantasy players at home, if you like that, if you got those three routes in your offense, God bless you, take them. But you're going to have to run some option routes. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to run some in cuts. You're going to have to run some snags. You got to run a tree to be a really good receiver. To me, the kid, Keneal Harry.
Keneal Harry, yeah.
Now, to me, that's a legitimate receiver.
Right.
That guy can play anywhere on the field. He can play F inside. He can play X outside. He can go inside, make the catch. And when the ball's in his hands, he's a beast. He's a freaking beast. He can go get it. Now, everybody has him going late one, early two. Okay, great. You take Metcalf before him, you're an idiot. You're an idiot.
One of your favorite cuts of all time, Maz, I'd have to say.
Oh, my gosh. Might be number one. Like, seriously. Wow. Every time I hear it, it gets dumber. It's unbelievable. Because everything he says about Harry is so wrong. Like, look at all the routes he can run. Really? Which ones? Like, when he gets the ball in his hands, he's a beast. Is he? Because that first game against Miami, a 5'9" guy tackled him on the sideline. Like, everything about both players there is wrong. It is so wrong. And that's the stunning part of it to me, is they missed so badly. Look, here's what I would say. This, Greg, look, you know, again, and I'm being sincere here. You have forgotten more football than I will ever know. Okay? I don't dispute any of that. But can we stop trying to reinvent the wheel at wide receiver? Just take the athlete, especially if he's got any football skill at all. This kid, Metcalf, was not a zero in college. Now, he needed some work, but clearly he didn't need as much as N'Keal Harry did. And so I just look at him and say, stop reinventing the wheel. Take the big, fast guy who can go up and get it and let everyone else worry about how they're going to deal with him. And Bill doesn't do that.
Well, what's interesting is that I remember this periodically. This is a topic, and I remember writing about this at the Globe when, you know, I studied the receivers the Patriots had drafted and the guys they had missed on coming out in the draft. And it seemed like for a time, Bill went with the athletes. He went with the fast guys. The problem was he went with guys who did not score very high on the Wonderlic. And I was like, well, they need to get guys who are smarter. And they I think they did swing the other way, and now they're missing because they're not drafting the athletes. So, you know, it comes back to they need to find the sweet spot. They need the balance, and maybe it's changed. Without Tom here, maybe you don't need the brainy wide receiver. You just need better athletes, and maybe that will level the playing field a little bit. But I do think they've had trouble finding the sweet spot in terms of talent and brains at the position.
Well, so like Cam Newton, I think N'Keal Harry is another guy, stunningly, continues to get worse. I mean, it's unbelievable. I felt they were onto a little something with him early on in the year. Seattle had a nice ball game, and it's just, it gets worse by the week for him. All right, so back to your phones. As promised, here's Jay in Grafton. Go ahead, Jay.
Can we put Harry on a spaceship with a one-way ticket? Zero catches, one drop, one carry for minus two, a holding penalty negating a 10-yard run. So I had him for a minus 22 until Bedard pointed out the missed block. So now he's down to a minus 30. When are they going to pull the plug on this guy? I'll hang up and listen.
So maybe this week, or maybe as soon as Julian Edelman gets back, who knows? But again, it's not like it's getting worse. It's getting worse, which should be really concerning, because the Patriots over the years have, you know, a team that does generally get better throughout the course of the year, and you see guys and things develop over the course of the year, and it hasn't with that player. So that's, you know, that's another thing to point to. Jerry in New Hampshire, what do you got? You're up next with Felger, Maz, and Greg Bedard. What do you got?
How you doing? Greg, answer me this question. This is more league-wide, but looking at the block penalty on the punt return the other day, the hit on Cam Newton, and a bunch of other flags I saw throughout the season in the NFL. And I think what people don't really talk about is the lack of tackles that some guys are making, or the tentativeness. How do you play defense in this league anymore.
Okay, let me just stop you right there. How do you play defense, Greg? But first of all, how'd you feel about the Anthony Jennings penalty on the block?
I had no problem with the penalty. First of all, technically, that's the rule. I remember when they put it in either this offseason or the season before, I was like, wait a minute, how is this going to work? And we've seen other penalties called where, you know, even blocking on an offensive play, blocking towards your own goal line, it's been called, and you're like, oh, come on. But that's just the way the rule's written. The Jennings block in particular, I had no problem with it. I thought he launched himself. I thought it was a cheap shot. He could have basically, he asked how you play defense or even how you throw that block. You know what you do? You throw the block into the guy's stomach or into his chest. You don't go high. Jennings braced himself, bent his knees down, and jumped up to the point where he got knocked on his rear end because he left his feet to hit him high. It was totally unnecessary. Those are the type of hits they're trying to get out there. And with Simmons, it's the same sort of thing. You just don't hit guys high. Keep your target lower from the stomach to the chest. That's what the NFL wants. And the big thing is don't make it look like a worse hit than it is. If it looks bad, it's going to get called. Like, you could still have a hard hit, and you don't have to be flying and you know, getting the big highlight hit. They're trying to get those out. So as long as you don't make it look bad, the hit, it'll be legal.
Mike, I don't know if we touched on this yesterday. On that hit, if you watch the replay, because I went back and watched it a couple of times, the guy who got hit, I think, is Turner, and I don't even know who that is. But he immediately looks at the referee and starts going like this to throw the flag. I think he baited Jennings. I think he knew what the rule was, what the call is. Like, I think the guy saw it coming and said, this guy's going to hit me. I'm going to let him because it's a penalty, and he baited him.
That whole thing about they don't let him play football anymore. Yep, that's right, old man. And I say that with all the love and respect to my caller. But, well, you know, we're all in this camp. We all were not so young that we didn't grow up where the game was different. It's a different game. I mean, that's just what it is. Like, I don't like your chances fighting it because it's just going in one direction. It's not the direction that you like. But, you know, those flags that I said yesterday, you may not like them, but they're completely consistent with the direction of the league and how they're called across the league every Sunday. Mike in the car, what do you got for us?
You know what else pisses me off about Belichick is that not only is he talking about stats now that you guys like talked about earlier, but now he's going back and talking about games that have already been played. What happened to the moving on to Pittsburgh? We're on to Cleveland. We're on to Seattle. You know, it's just really frustrating. But anyway, thanks, guys.
Yeah, no, it's all part of the Bill Belichick fall tour of excuses 2020. The Bill Belichick 2020 excuse generator. He just... And, you know, he extends it to Cam Newton because Cam Newton and that decision reflects on him, Maz. So it's – he is not going to take any of that second-guessing from the media without defending himself. And he'll break all his own rules to defend himself if that's what it takes.
Yeah, you're going to have to start doing the spots for him. BB Van Lines, they move the goalposts is what they do because that's what he does. He moves the goalposts.
Bill on Cape Cod, what do you got, Bill?
Good afternoon. Two words. Colin Kaepernick. Thank you.
Okay. Two words. No way. Three. No effing way. Would you please? Greg, back to our conversation. You don't like the idea of a better bridge veteran quarterback while you draft the next guy? I don't want to play a rookie next year.
Mike, I am all in favor of a better bridge quarterback. If
don't
you
talk to me like I'm a child.
The name of a better bridge quarterback than Alex Smith. Let me throw a few stats at you, okay, stat boy?
All right. Stats are for losers.
So Cam Newton is 28th in the NFL in passer rating, 79.8. I think that's correct. Yes, passer rating. Alex Smith, the great plan that you have for next year, is 26th at 81.3. Cam Newton has a 50.8 QBR rating. Alex Smith has a 40 QBR rating. So,
okay, he'll get that up. You don't think Alex Smith, I don't know what the leg is. If the leg is mincemeat, then forget about it. But just on paper, you don't think the best of Alex Smith is better than what Cam Newton can bring in right now?
No. No.
Okay, well, Mass, why is Greg start off the whole show ripping Cam Newton? Like, it was the whole thesis of his entire thing about how the quarterback plays killing this team. And then you give him, like, I consider Alex Smith Joe average quarterback. Like, that's just what I'm looking for. And then you give him that name, and he's, like, repulsed. Do you understand what's going on with Greg? Like, I don't get it.
I don't, actually, but I do have two questions, because he said a couple of things in the early part of the show here that have intrigued me. And Greg, one does concern Newton, where you said you think there's still a role for him going forward, which is fine.
So there could be.
Yeah, there could be. Do you think the Patriots feel that way?
Yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think they love his intangibles. I think that they love that he didn't bitch and moan and MF everybody behind the scenes like another quarterback did, last year behind as things were going on and the talent level around him wasn't very good. Somebody who hasn't complained publicly or privately about what he's being surrounded with.
Greg, listen. That level, he's perfect for them. He blows sunshine up their skirts and he's cheap. Oh, that's a win. That's a win for Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. You kiss his ass and take his cheap-ass, stupid contract, you're his guy. Well, that's no reason for me to bring back a quarterback. Maybe it is for Bill and the organization, but please, that doesn't make him the guy.
Yeah, I might agree with you, Felger. I don't know. I mean, like, look, I said I could be open to it. Now, and that depends on what else they're bringing back. If their grand plan is the Felger plan and Alex Smith, then hell yes. I'm all for Cam Newton coming back with a full offseason, a second year with the Patriots and being here. Yeah, I wouldn't mind that competition in camp. Now, back to what your point is when you trying to get a rise out of me again, is that, look, I don't know if you are, but I'm fully capable of having a nuanced discussion where it's not black and white, that you can say one thing and also mean. I'm talking about Cam Newton to this point this year, okay? To this point this year, I figured he would make more progress. Yesterday was about 8 steps back, and he's been slowly going downhill the past couple weeks a little bit subtly. That has nothing to do with next season. Like, Alex Smith, you're talking about, you wanted Brian Hoyer, you wanted Joe Average quarterback this year. Now, that's your plan? That's your two-year plan. You want it again next year? Like, really, Mr. Quarterback? They had, they had it with Garoppolo. I trust Bill. Bill should pick this guy. Like, it's Cam Newton or, no, excuse me, Brian Hoyer this year. It's Alex Smith next year. That's your grand plan for the Patriots.
I was just a name. I just want an average quarterback. This guy sucks. Maz?
For a second straight year.
So I do have another question for Greg, which I can deliver quickly now. We can do it after 10 questions.
Let's do it after 10 questions. 10 questions with the big boy right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
So you're a business that's thriving. But then, don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with serious and reliable gig speed internet. But is it secure? Sure, it's secure.
So how do I do this?
We do this together. Bounce forward with Comcast Business.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, 10 questions, 10 minutes around the league with Greg Bedard. Jimmy, what are our buzzer options this week? That's one of our emailers. Go ahead.
Where's the commissioner? Where's Wright Waters? Where's Wright Waters?
That's a good leftover from last week. Next.
You know what? I don't really care if you people look at me in the press box. You know what? I don't care. That's a flag. And I'll fight any one of you if you want it.
Next.
Boo!
Keep going.
Nuts and bolts, we got screwed.
Jimmy missed our Wednesday spectacular, so I think he just wants to hear him go.
Touchdown, Minamuskega!
That's it.
Hey, all right, hit anyone.
Touchdown, Minamuskega!
Okay, number Dan, I sent you the list of before, and Jimmy, I'm hearing myself back in my headset. But the free agent list I sent you, the Patriots will have as much cap space as any team in the league to spend, with the implication being that they're going to go big in free agency. So you have the list in front of you. You tell me, give me three guys, wish list, free agents for the Patriots. Go.
Well, first of all, I think it's more likely they sign 10 mid-level low-price guys than any big-ticket items. But realistic guys that I'd like to see them sign, I mean, my wish list would be Ngakoue at outside linebacker, Lavonte David, who's going to get franchised by the Bucks, and at tight end, I would go Everett from the Rams.
Mouse.
So can you guys hear me? Because I dropped a second ago.
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay.
Yep.
So, look, I didn't go by who the Patriots would get. I went by who I wanted. Leonard Williams, defensive tackle. Go get me some beef on the defensive line. Chris Godwin, wide receiver, Tampa Bay. They need a receiver. Where are you going to get a receiver? You can't draft one. You got to go get one in free agency. Go get me Godwin. That kid can play. And I sort of broke the rules here a little bit, but Matthew Stafford with the Lions, go get a quarterback. Defensive tackle, receiver, quarterback.
Chris Godwin, Hunter Henry, Bud Dupree from Pittsburgh. You need a pass rusher, too.
Okay, Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin, doesn't that feel like a sweet spot? You can take him away from Brady, you know, sort of mess with him at the same time. And that's like, he feels like, you know what, that Antonio Brown signing, so stupid. And, you know, I think Bruce Arians loves Mike Evans. Chris Godwin should be Brady's guy. That feels like the perfect sort of Brady guy. He'll get open short. He feels like he's tough, runs the routes. Like, Chris Godwin's the guy. That would be my top target. Next
and
one,
he's 24.
Jimmy.
24 years old.
Boo! Okay, fill in the blank. The NFL's decision to have Denver play their game with no quarterbacks was...
Them's the breaks. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, part of the deal, man. That's it. That's right. This is the way it works. You don't have enough players on your depth chart, that's your problem.
I say good for business. They decided half-ass games are better than no games at all, and I applaud them for it.
Okay, next. Eight, fill in the blank again. The NFL's handling of the Ravens outbreak and Baltimore Steelers game being pushed to Wednesday is...
Another embarrassing example of the NFL's pandering to the Ravens. It's just, it's gross. It's disgusting. They bend over backwards for that franchise. You think they would have been burned in the whole Ray Rice thing, yet they just keep bending over backwards for the Ravens.
So I find it amusing, but I actually believe it's consistent. These teams that have been in the middle of outbreaks that haven't been completely contained yet, all their games have been pushed back. That's what happened. It happened with the Titans. It happened with the Patriots. They got pushed back and ended up only being a day, but they got pushed back. And I think that that's what's happening with the Ravens here. They've had, do you know there have been 20 people was the last number I saw that have tested positive in Baltimore? 20.
Yeah, this was more of a mess. They should have forced them to just play on Thanksgiving night. But overall, whatever, get these games in and avoid Week 18 and expanding the playoffs at all costs.
Next.
Nuts and bolts, we got screwed.
All right, let's try and give the NFL credit for something they've done this year. I actually feel like you guys just did give the NFL some credit for pushing ahead with these games. But give me something else. What have they done this year in this environment that you think they deserve kudos for?
I didn't like this question. I don't like having to come up with something good about the NFL. But if I had to pick something, I would say leaving the possibility open that they would have 8 playoff teams and eliminate the bye.
I would say delivering the product, as you know, as untraditional as it is, it's important. Sunday is like one of the few days of the week I think that feels completely normal still. And I think that's because of the NFL. I think that that's a big part of it.
Yeah, putting on a palatable TV product. I mean, it does feel the same unless you get like the panning shot of stadiums. You don't see any fans there, really. But other than that, it feels the same.
I feel like they deserve the most credit for telling their refs to keep the flags in their pocket. And I don't know what the numbers are right now, but early in the season, flags were way down, holding calls way down. I feel like, you know, every year there's a emphasis on this, emphasis on that, and there's a million flags early on in the season. I think this year the league said, product's going to be spotty as it is, boys. Revenues are going to be what they are as it is. No points of emphasis. Keep the flags in your pocket. And for the most part, they've done that. I think the league deserves credit for that. Next.
Where's the commissioner? Where's Wright Waters? Where's Wright Waters?
Craig, if you had Matt Patricia for an exclusive one-on-one interview and could ask him only one question, what would it be?
I need clarification, Mike. Is this on the record or off the record interview?
Let's answer it any way you think is going to be entertaining.
Okay. Well, if he would actually tell me the truth about something, it would obviously be what was the deal with Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl.
Nice. Ooh, okay.
Good one.
Yeah, good one. Go ahead.
Mine would be, who do you think you are? Like, who do you think you're Bill Belichick? And who exactly do you think you are when you start rattling off your resume? Because your record as a head coach is a train wreck. You wore a T-shirt that had the commissioner portrayed as a clown, which made you look like a clown. Like, who do you think you are?
Yeah, mine would be, how do you live with yourself? For claiming you're responsible for Malcolm Butler's pick in Super Bowl 49, for that game plan against Nick Foles and the Eagles, for the way you scolded the media in Detroit for slouching, for how you look when you leave the house. How do you live with yourself, Matt Patricia?
Yeah, have you ever looked at yourself? You know, get a grip, which isn't a question, but that would be my statement to him. Look at yourself. Next.
You know what? I don't really care if you people look at me in the press box. You know what? I don't care. That's a flag. And I'll fight any one of you if you want it.
Okay, speaking of tool bag assistant coaches, please rank the biggest tool bag assistant coaches to Bill Belichick in the last 20 years. Give me top three, and Patricia can be on this list. Go ahead.
Matt Patricia, Brett Bielema, and third was tough, but I went with Josh Boyer, Mr. South Dakota School of Mining and Technology.
Nice.
Matt Patricia, number one. I don't think this guy was ever actually a Patriot assistant, but too bad. Jim Schwartz, to me, it's got a link to Belichick. He's number two. That guy's a tool. Epic. He's a power tool. And number three for me is Joe Judge, the head coach of the New York Giants. That guy's another one. Another tool bag.
Matt Patricia, Brett Bielema, Rat Eric Mangini.
Okay, Mangini tool. Rob Ryan. You know, I know we like him. He's colorful. We had a quick drink with him there in the middle of the night in Miami at that last Super Bowl. Colorful guy. But face it, that guy's kind of a tool wrench, if you know what I mean. Next.
Boo!
Okay, for balance, give me your favorite Belichick assistant of all time. This doesn't have to be, you know, the best, the most meritorious, or just the one you like the best. Go ahead.
It's either Skarnecki or Ivan Fears. It's pretty much a tie for me. Both guys are awesome. They're great to deal with professionally. They're great personally. Have just enjoyed being around them.
So I knew Skarnecki would come up. I'll tell you who's growing on my list more and more is Brian Flores. I liked him when he was a defensive coordinator here. I thought he brought sort of an edge to that whole environment, and I love what he's doing in Miami.
Skarnecki, for me, a football lifer, carries himself the right way, and he's still in great shape for his age.
Okay, I love how he keeps himself. Talk about the anti-Matt Patricia.
Right.
So Skarnecki obviously deserves mention. I don't know if you covered him when he was here, Greg. I can't remember when you overlapped. I don't think you were here. Maybe you were. But Romeo Crennel, Rack, was a great guy. I think he was a terrific guy. And not that I covered him as an assistant coach, but Troy Brown is their receivers coach now. And Troy's a hell of a dude as well. All right, next.
Nuts and bolts, we got screwed.
The Niners will spend the next 2 weeks in Arizona as their home away from home. Let's say the Patriots got put in a similar spot. Where should they go? And just as a side note, I think the NFL requires that if you do have to do this, you have to go to another NFL city with an NFL stadium because they have all the technology and all the, you know, all the game day apparatus in place for you to play your games there. So where should the Patriots go?
I went with Miami just because I don't know. It appeals to me. It makes me smile when I think of all the massholes sort of walking around with white socks and their sandals and talking trash. Owning the place. Like, I don't know. It just appeals to me. Warms my heart.
Philly. I say Philly. It's close. Jump right down there. There's only one team. It's not New York where there are two. Go to Philadelphia.
I said Buffalo. The Jets would never allow it. So for proximity's sake, I just say Buffalo and it would make those people crazy.
Greg's got it. Miami's the answer. Next. Let's redraft the 2016 NFL draft. You should have the full slate, all 200 some players in front of you. Redraft the top five. The top five, the way it did go down was Goff 1, Wentz 2, Joey Bosa 3, Ezekiel Elliott 4, Jalen Ramsey 5. What should the new top five be, Greg?
Dak Prescott, Michael Thomas, Ronnie Stanley, Jalen Ramsey, DeForest Buckner.
So I butchered the question. I thought we had to pick those five guys in a new order. So I took Jalen Ramsey first.
Okay, but go ahead and give me that top five.
Okay, I went with Ramsey, Bosa, Wentz, Goff, Elliott.
So Wentz over Goff.
Yep.
I went Ramsey, Michael Thomas, Tyreek Hill, Joey Bosa, Chris Jones, defensive end with Kansas City.
Okay, what a great draft. If it had to be Goff or Wentz there, big boy, who would you take?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I would go Wentz. I don't think he's as bad as he's shown. I think most of what's happened in Philly the past 2 years has just been a terrible surrounding cast, and I think he's a lot better. I'm just hoping he's not too damaged at this point to recover.
Last one, Jimmy.
Touchdown, Minimum Stigan!
Prediction. Will the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Tom Brady win a playoff game? And just let me tell you, if the postseason started tonight, they would be at Green Bay in the first round. Their other realistic possibilities, providing they don't catch the Saints, are at Seattle or, again, at New Orleans. But you tell me, where would they be? Will they win a playoff game?
Nope, they're done. Stick a fork in that team.
Yeah, I also say no, and I just don't think that they have it even defensively. Do you know they've allowed the second most touchdown passes in the league? Like, so this is, to me, a classic case of who Tampa Bay is. No risk it, no biscuit. They have a lot of picks, but they're not disciplined. No way.
I'm a hard no as well, and I'll go one further. The only way they can is if they somehow end up playing someone from the NFC East, and even then, I think the Giants would probably beat them.
Okay.
Mike, yo. One thing on that. Watching the Chiefs game the other night, like, all I could think of was, you know, you look at the difference between the way the Patriots played Kansas City this year, you know, with what they had and how close they were to winning that game, to what Tampa did with all this talent and all whatnot. What Brady must have been thinking that you know, the Patriots, every time they play the Kansas City Chiefs, they have two goals on defense. Don't let Tariq Hill beat you, and double Kelsey on third downs. And those guys were killing the Bucs. Like, Brady must have been like, what the hell is going on around here? What did I get myself into?
Well, let's pick up the Brady question. Right after a big Jim Murray's update, there was breaking news on the Celtics today. You'll hear that news right here, and we'll come back with more thoughts from the big boy and you. Give us a call at 617-779-0985.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mez.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mez.
You don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
My question with this, joy is my witness, was never about Tom Brady's age, and it was never about his arm. I never questioned that. I lived in Tampa, and I lived next to Boston. I said, you're talking about Tom Brady, rigid, efficient, willful, aspirational, driven, moving to loosey-goosey Tampa cocktails at 4 with Bruce Arians, no biscuit if you don't risk it. That stylistically was my concern. And this morning it still is. It's not about Tampa's talent. It's not about Brady. Did you notice Tony Romo yesterday? And I love Tony. How he was defending Tom Brady for 3.5 hours. Anybody notice that? Why would that be? Because star quarterbacks protect star quarterbacks. And Bruce Arians came out with a flamethrower and ripped Brady last week. And so Tom Brady called up his buddy Tony Romo and said, you know, here's the story. And so if you listen for 3.5 hours, it was Tony Romo defending Tom Brady. That's all it was. And that's the game they're playing now.
Yes, that was Colin Cowherd on the Brady situation, and the Romo stuff was, I felt, over the top. But, Maz, that whole comment got you thinking about something.
Yeah, so look, as much as we put an emphasis on the fit between Bill Belichick and Cam Newton, and I think that there's been the lack of a fit between those two on the field, I think Brady made the same mistake. And so I know we mocked Tom Brady for picking Tampa Bay and the whole idea that he just, you know, here is the king of all quarterbacks and all players in NFL history, lowering himself to shack up with a trailer park trash in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because that's what Brady did. I think we can look at the fit between him and Arians and say the same thing that we're saying about Newton and Belichick here. It's not a fit. This is not a great offense for Tom Brady. It has nothing to do with whether or not he can or cannot throw the ball down the field. It has everything to do with the fact that Brady's best game is the short and intermediate game. And I just think that that's a bad fit in Tampa Bay.
You have a thought on that, big boy?
Yeah, I finally got caught up on a Brady season. I think I watched his last six games this weekend before the most recent game. And, you know, a few things that I saw, to me, it just looks like Brady doesn't have a whole lot of confidence in a whole bunch of things. Whether it's, you know, outside of Scotty Miller, I don't think he has a ton of confidence that the receivers are going to run the routes the way that he wants them. And we all knew that was going to be an issue. I mean, because, you know, Tom is fighting. He has 20 years of built-in instincts about, like, all right, I see this coverage. The receiver's going to do X. Well, none of those guys are on that same page in Tampa, even though, you know, I do like you brought up Godwin earlier. With each passing week, he runs routes more and more like Deion Branch did, almost to the point where I wonder if he's watching Deion Branch film. I haven't had a problem with the plays. Brady, with all the injuries on the offensive line, he obviously does not have a whole lot of faith in the protection that he's going to get, so he's been quick to get rid of balls. You know, and I think the overall thing, though, with that offense down there is, and I'm not sure who's responsible for what, because, like, somebody who knows a lot of people, especially down in Tampa, like Chris Sims, said on his podcast this week that Brady wants to be shotgun and spread with all these guys in Antonio Brown, where Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich are trying to get him more under center. To me, it's clear that the Buccaneers are much more efficient offensively if they go multiple tight ends, which Bruce Arians traditionally has hated tight ends, multiple tight ends, run the ball, get Brady under center, do play action, max protect sometimes if you need to, as opposed to this shotgun spread stuff. I don't know who's responsible for what, but that's where this offense is best, and they keep fighting each other on that every week.
Okay, Mass, did you have a follow-up question from before with Greg on Cam Newton?
Oh, so actually related to N'Keal Harry, and here is the follow-up, because you mentioned this, Greg, and I've heard Zoe say it, and you said about Harry, just move him to tight end and be done with it. Do you think this is a real possibility? Because now I've heard it twice this week, and Zoe has said it before, but is moving N'Keal Harry to tight end a possibility, whether it's this season or at the end of the season into next year, whenever?
I think it has to be. I mean, if... You know, N'Keal Harry is not going anywhere unless you cut him or trade him, which is possible. I mean, he could be the new Duke Dawson or Froholt or whoever, you know, recent somewhat high draft picks that don't work out here. But I think if they, you know, look, we all talk about cost getting out of control with this team and them not being young enough, and they do have openings at tight end, because even though Asiasi and Keene both are on IR, I don't think that there's a lot of confidence inside the building that they can count on those guys in any way, shape, or form for next year. So, and N'Keal Harry's done at wide receiver. I think by now he's proven he is not going to be a starting NFL wide receiver. Could he be a number three or four? Yeah, I guess. But I do think, given his frame and his build, I do think there's some potential at sort of a move tight end spot for the Patriots. And yes, I think that is a realistic opportunity. I think it's something the Patriots have to look at this offseason.
N'Keal Harry already done, says Greg Bedard. Will not be an NFL wide receiver. All right.
Not
I promise.
One or two.
Okay. I promise. We'll wrap it up with Greg and your calls right after these words.
Boston's home for sports. Fill your nets. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Cardona will snap it back. Bailey turns to Cardona. The snap in place. Swing of the right leg. Kick driven to the uprights. The kick is good!
Got it!
Bolt does it again! His second game winner of the season. And the Patriots prevail at the buzzer over Arizona by a 20-17 final.
You have life. Boy, do you have life.
Before we wrap it up with your calls with Greg Bedard, Greg, do you agree with Scott Zolak? You have life. And I assume he means towards the playoffs, the path to the playoffs. Do you have life?
Sure. Yeah, I've been there all along. I mean, again, I predicted 4-6 starts, 6-game winning streak to finish the season before the year. And so far, so good. We'll see if it comes to fruition. I mean, I think they need to get to 10-6. I don't think 9-7 is going to be good enough unless we have a situation where they're inviting an eighth team into the playoffs. But, yeah, sure, they're in it.
So you got them sweeping in L.A.?
Yes. Mm. I mean, I had that before the season. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go against my former self.
Okay. We've got last couple calls here with Greg Bedard. Gil in Johnston, Rhode Island, I assume. Go ahead, Gil.
Hey, what's going on, boys? All right, so I'm in a group chat with a bunch of my buddies, and anytime Metcalf does something or Deebo Samuel does something, the first thing we say is, in all caps, N'Keal Harry blows every single time. but also, I think it's something to do with the system, because I think if you put Metcalf on the Patriots, he wouldn't be, you know, tearing the cover off the ball like he's doing now. And if you put Harry on the Seahawks, I think Wilson would give him a shot, you know, to actually play football.
So, what do
you
so guys Gil, think? Yeah, thanks for the call. It's a good question, Greg. Does the system work against N'Keal Harry here?
I think so. I mean, it's hard to judge because, you know, he had Brady before, so, you know, he got off to a rough start. You know, if he was a rookie this year, would it be any better? I don't know. But I do think there's some validity in that. You know, if you put N'Keal Harry in Seattle, would he be better than he's been here? Yeah, I tend to think yes.
Okay, we've got Ryan in the North End for Greg Bedard. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, guys. So we're talking a lot about quarterbacks today, and Cam Newton to this point this year has been hot garbage. The guy can't even figure out how to throw a 7-yard pass. He just looks out of place, can't read a defense, and honestly, it's infuriating to watch. So my question for you three is, starting today to finish off the season, who would you rather have, Cam Newton, Carson Wentz, or Taysom Hill? So I'm not sure how much you guys actually watched Wentz or saw the game last night, but Wentz is essentially Hill with no confidence, and you can't tell me that Peterson wouldn't rather have Hill on his team.
Okay, so I don't know about the rest of the year. Can I rephrase? Greg, what's your plan at quarterback? You don't like Alex Smith. I think that's well established. You know, who do you like?
Well, I've been in the same camp. I'm waiting till the end of the year and see where the cards fall in a lot of places, because
yeah, I got to do a show issues, today. You know, we're in this segment right now. It doesn't work for you to say let's see where the chips fall. You got to give
If you're asking me right now, you're putting me on the spot. I'd say, you know, Sam Darnold probably, something along those lines. But I'm certainly not going with Alex Smith. I could tell you that much.
I mean. Okay, fine. You don't like him. But somehow you like Sam Darnold. Okay, I guess. I mean, I think Sam Darnold could be a big nothing nobody. Big stiff out of USC, another guy out of that college.
At least he's not 40 with a broken leg.
Well, that's true, but maybe he's got a broken brain. And I'll take a broken leg over a broken brain. But at least you gave me a name, big fella. That's all I was asking for. Billy in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Billy.
Hey, how you doing? I was going to say the same thing as the previous caller. Even if Metcalf was here, you'd have nobody to give him the ball.
Okay, well, is that fair? That Cam Newton can't even get the ball into a jump, into a jump ball situation?
Well, so look, I don't love Newton's arm strength anymore. I'm not telling you it's completely garbage, but that long pass he threw to Damir Bird, frankly, a couple of weeks ago, I think was blind luck. I mean, pretty close. So would Metcalf be the same player here? No, of course not. He's got, you know, the second best quarterback in the league, in all probability, thrown to him, if not the best quarterback in the league. So, but that's not what I'm saying. I think that if you, all things being equal, Metcalf and Harry, put them on all 32 teams for a week, who produces more? Metcalf.
Oh, man, it's not even close. I mean,
yeah.
To say, you know, did giving N'Keal Harry Tom Brady when Tom Brady had 1 foot out the door, did that set N'Keal Harry back? It might have. Could the fact that their current quarterback, as Jim Murray would say, throws the football like he's throwing a can of paint, could that be working against N'Keal Harry? Yes, I'll give him both of those things. I think even on his best day, he might not be an NFL receiver. I don't think he gets how to play the game. I don't think he has any football instincts. And so given the best quarterback in his prime fully invested, it doesn't matter. I don't know if the guy can play. And so, like, to me, that's a bigger question. And, you know, once again, Bill Belichick taking a guy at that position who, frankly, didn't even really belong in the league. I mean, that's what we're getting to. And that's what's kind of scary. Kevin in Kingston, go ahead. Last call here for Greg Bedard. Go to what do you got?
Hey, I have a question. Get your thoughts on this, guys. Yeah, I'm watching Cam Newton over the last few weeks, and I'm seeing him drop back to pass. Now, granted, he's considered a mobile quarterback, but they're playing him like, I mean, it looks like shades of Drew Bledsoe in his later years. He's just standing back there like a statue. He's getting washed over by the defense, sacked. Why aren't they having this guy run out of the pocket, you know, maybe throw on the run a little, maybe do a Ben Roethlisberger style where he kind of makes things happen? Because when he has to start running from a stand-up position, it takes him like 3 or 4 steps to start moving. He's always getting tripped up, sacked. So has anyone thought about that in terms of like McDaniels? Why can't we at least open the reins on this guy and give him one more last shot to,
you okay,
know.
Well, Greg, you know, is there? Can they be doing more with him in that regard?
I don't think so. Not look, I've watched Cam most of his whole career. A lot of it, Cam has never been a roll him out, throw the ball type of thrower. I mean, the Patriots do it on occasion, mostly to get the defense to thinking, you know, a little bit differently, at least throwing a curveball at them. But Cam Newton is at his best when either it's a designed run for him, or it's a design drop back pass. Like, that's it. He's not a great improviser on the run. He does not throw naturally on the run. He does not have great feet out of the pocket when it comes to throwing on the run. So no one has ever used Cam Newton that way. So I think that should tell you all you need to know.
Okay. No matter how they're using him, he sucks. Okay. And so I just think they can do better as that bridge guy, Greg. And, you know, Alex Smith is just a name, just a name to represent Joe Average quarterback. I'd take Garoppolo back here in that role.
Yes.
I'd take Matt Stafford in that role.
Yes.
I'd rather have both of those guys. I'd rather have Stafford and Garoppolo than Alex Smith. You know, those free agent lists I gave you, someone who will probably be available next year, Tyrod Taylor. Would you rather have Tyrod Taylor or Cam Newton?
Probably Cam in a second year here. Probably.
Taylor.
It's close.
I think Tyrod Taylor is more dynamic. It feels like he's got more left in the tank than Cam Newton does.
Protects the ball.
Yeah, I would take Tyrod Taylor. He protects the ball, and his Maz gave me his one loss record the other day. I was surprised by. He's got a really good winning percentage as a quarterback, doesn't he?
Yeah, yep. I think he's right in the middle. 24-21. Yeah.
Okay.
Right,
well, anyway. I mean, I thought he was worse than that. Either way, you know, don't pin me to Alex Smith like that's the top guy on my board. He's just one of
I'm pinning him to you right on your face. He turned into Palookaville for crying out loud.
He's just one of
your fat face.
Yeah, he's one of many that I would take over your guy. The most bizarre Greg of all his stints. The most bizarre Greg Bedard stint of all time.
No.
He comes out in his first segment ripping Cam Newton to shreds, and then you say you'd like another guy next year, and he's like, no, I think there's a role for him next year. It's like what? What freaking role? Other than selling popcorn in the stands? There should be no role for Cam Newton on this team, given your commentary on him, big boy. But anyway, in the books.
Anybody sensible and intelligent out there heard my explanations. They understand them, and they understand that it was legitimate. I don't know why you can't get it, but you can't. But there are plenty of listeners who understood my multiple points on this topic. And one thing before I go, Mike, if I could just one quick second, just we have a Cyber Monday deal at BSJ going till midnight, 40% off if people want to get in.
Okay, once again.
I highly recommend it, by the way. There's some good stuff on there. I'm not kidding. Greg does some great video stuff that'll help you actually understanding what the hell's going on the field.
Oh, no, I'm a subscriber, despite all his nonsense and his bad attitude today. I think he's got a very good site, and I recommend that everyone give him a subscription. Greg, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.
Anytime. See you guys.
See you, big boy.
What, Maz? I know you had one more thing to chime in with. What?
Well, no, I was just going to say, Greg, I don't know how many years he's been on the show now, but by now he should know that there is no room for sensibility and intelligence on this program.
Highly frowned against, big boy. Let's get to the Celtics and Daniel Ainge, shall we? Let's do that right after Jim Murray's update. First, he'll have some breaking news for you on the Celtics, and then we'll get into our Celts conversation. They opened training camp today. Did you know that? No commercials here.